Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Wednesday, September the 27th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we'll be reading from the Big Book on page 156, the third paragraph down, "But Life Was Not Easy for the Two Friends." And we're reading through that one paragraph ending with, "She had a first-class alcoholic prospect." The comments will be on that paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Joanne L., the 12 Traditions, Cindy H. The readers of the text are Penny L.C., Shelley E., and Kara L. The share ID for Tuesday, yesterday, September 26th, for today, Wednesday, September 27th, is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,628. That's 20682. And our new covered reader is Alex K., and our announcements person is Lois P. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Maureen. Great job. Thank you so much for stepping in. It's not easy. My name is Joanne L., and I am from Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us in the power to carry that out. In 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I want to say thank you to Leah for allowing me to do service this month. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your service, Joanne, Joanne L. And I will now ask Cindy H. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. This is Cindy H. from Michigan. Here's our 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cindy H. And I want to go back and correct what I misread. The share ID for Tuesday, September the 26th, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,676. That's 20676. And for this morning's meeting, Wednesday, September 27th, at 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,268. 20682. Apologize for that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on the topic. The meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 156, the third paragraph down, begins with, "But life was not easy for the two friends," and it ends with, "She had a first-class alcoholic prospect." And I will now ask Penny L.C. to get us started. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. But life was not easy for the two friends. Plenty of difficulties presented themselves. Both saw they must keep spiritually active. One day they called up the head nurse of a local hospital. They explained their need and inquired if she had a first-class alcoholic prospect. And when I read this paragraph, I am it's very encapsulated as to where I'm facing my truth about my disease. And that is, when I put down the food for me, then life exploded in a whole different way. You know, I was still sort of caught up in that, some of that pain and misery and depression, but yet now I didn't have my solace. I didn't have my escape mechanism to run to, the food. I didn't have that sense of trying to get any comfort, even if it was for only seconds a bite. And instead, I was feeling all of my feelings. So the same way, life was not easy for the two friends. Life was not easy for me when I first started being abstinent. Because then I'm feeling all of my feelings. And you know, I felt everything around me more intensely. And my character defects, oh boy, you know, they were vivid. I was feeling that resentment, that fear, really intensely. My emotions were on high. And so what do I know about the 12 steps and about the solution? Well, when it says here that I must be spiritually active, you know, it's not really taking more time for more prayer and meditation. Valid that is, and important as that is to keep my connection with my higher power, what I really know is if I want to stay spiritually active, that activity needs to be making efforts to be of service and passing on the solution. That's what I know today. I need to be willing to give back what's been given to me for continual recovery. And so in explaining their need to this person on the phone, the nurse on the phone, they were letting it be known. They were the ones in need. They realized perhaps that alcoholic who's in the hospital may be in need of a solution, but they were in need. They were in need of being able to share the solution with someone who was experiencing the problem. And every time I get to do that as a sponsor or just as a fellow coming alongside another fellow and giving support, I am blessed. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Penny LC, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to comment on this third paragraph on page 166, that life was not easy for them? And it ends with, she had a first-class alcoholic. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Kara L.
Kara.
Annabelle Z.
Annabelle Z. Anyone else? Okay, well, I'll go with those two, and maybe some more will get the nerve to press star one. Good morning, Kara L.
Good morning, Mo. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And we're right in the middle of the story about Bill and Bob and the beginning of Alcoholics Anonymous, our parent program. And still from the beginning, you know, I love how even though they were recovered, it says, but life was not easy for the two friends, right? Plenty of difficulties presented themselves. Both saw that is keeps spiritually fit. And I see that for myself today because just because I'm recovered, it doesn't mean that life is not happening for me. It doesn't mean that I don't have years of developed character defects that I am working towards with my higher power you know, having my higher power do something with. And, you know, so what can I do? Well, what can I do? I can work the steps to the best of my ability. I'm going to be honest as I know how. I can reach out to my higher power, you know. And so how do I, when life is not easy for me, when there are difficulties for me, you know, my old way of doing things was blaming other people, getting upset, absolutely backpedaling until it wasn't my fault, all those kinds of things. And today I have a new way of living, you know, through the steps in this book, a spiritual way of living that says, it's okay if you made a mistake, you know, call a friend, ask, you know, to hear about their day, you know, be honest about what I'm doing, write up an inventory, you know. And here they said, hey, we need to work with somebody else. And I have to work with other people, because if I don't work with other people, then I start thinking my own ideas are great. And when I work with other people, it's an opportunity for my higher power to be present with me as I'm passing on the program, as I'm giving my experience, strength, and hope, you know. And it's also an opportunity for me to learn from another person, because my, you know, there are lessons every single sponsee teaches me, and I learn something about myself and about this program and about my higher power every single time I'm working with somebody else. You know, it's amazing how it works, and I'm so grateful today for that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Kara L. Up next is Annabelle Z, and after Annabelle, I'll take another lineup of people who would like to share. Good morning. Good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning. My name is Annabelle Z. I am recovering in compulsive overeater in the state of Washington. And I apologize if I shared 2 days ago. I'm just not sure. I've been trying to share more, just trying to be honest and getting back into the middle of the herd. This paragraph is one more place where there's the word must. And I just read recently that the third edition of the Big Book had over 100 musts, and the fourth edition has fewer. And I thought that was really interesting, because we have to, you know, we don't like the word must. But there's things like have to, and there's not a lot of shoulds and woulds, or could-haves, or other than when we fail. And so they both saw that they must keep spiritually active. That's the first thing that popped out for me. And the other thing that popped out for me is the difficulties and how hard it is to, because I'm like, oh yeah, this, to keep spiritually active, they're not just talking about, you know, all meditation for 30 minutes, which is essential for me to really meditate and be quiet and be still and meditate on God. But to take that out, the spiritual practice is practicing the spiritual principles of love and service, and thinking more about someone else. In fact, putting others above myself. That is really hard for a self-centered, just really ego-driven, self-propulsed person like me without this recovery. And so that's, I think, not just those difficulties. They had a lot of difficulties in starting the program. But that for me right now is probably, you know, one of the biggest hurdles that I have to cross, is really getting out of self. And I am a firm believer that that place of being able to serve others and carry on this message, it literally cannot happen in the purest sense until I've done the first 11 steps thoroughly. So right now I'm on step 2 again. And, while I know these things, I say these things and I feel confident to say them, because I have 100% hope and faith in this program, because I feel like it's God-anointed, God-inspired, and I've already experienced so much change in the last 10, 11, 12 days, that I feel like there's just so much hope, and there's such a, it's almost like there's no tunnel anymore. It's not even a light at the end of the tunnel. It's just that I know I'm on this path and it feels so right. So that's all I have to share. Thank you so much, and have a great day.
Thank you very much, Annabelle Z from Washington State. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share? We're on page 156, the third paragraph down. but life was not easy, and it ends with she had a first-class alcoholic prospect.
Marie R., New York.
Marie R.?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A., gotcha.
Mary G.
Mary G. So I have Marie R., Donna B., Barbara A., and Mary G. Anyone else? Get started with this group. Okay. Marie R., you're up first, followed by Donna B. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning. My name is Marie. I'm a compulsive overeater. Right now, you know, I'm kind of a beginner. I haven't finished the steps yet. I am working with a sponsor. And, like, right now, all I feel is I'm living and working on my character defects right now. Like, I'm just in them right now. You know, all my character defects are just alive and well right now. And, you know, I'm questioning, you know, how is this all going to happen, you know? How am I going to become this different person? You know, is it going to be poof, they're gone? You know, am I just going to have to tough it through and you know, do things that I don't want to do? And, you know, is God going to make it easier for me? You know, because I know when it comes to this part, I kind of run a little bit, you know, and I get scared of the work because I think I'm not going to be able to do it. And I forget that I have to rely more on God. You know, this time, I've been in program for a long time, but I feel like this time in program, like my control issues all through my life have been just such, you know, has caused me so many problems in my life, you know. And I had an incident the other day where I controlled a situation that I had no business being in, and it turned out to be a mess, and I really saw it, you know. And, you know, I have these fears, you know, and I act on them because I want to feel better, you know. I need to know. And I don't know, like, when that's going to go away. I'm doing my fifth step today, and, you know, for the most part, I think I'm doing everything, and, you know, maybe I just need to go easier on myself. Maybe I need to go harder on myself. I just having a day where I really, you know, I don't know how this is all happening. But I'm here, and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Marie R. Up next is Donna B., followed by Barbara A. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge, purge, bulimic, and exercise bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. Just over the last few days, I became acutely aware of some areas in which my life has not been easy. And I actually rewrote step one to capture what I've been going through. And I wrote, we admitted we were powerless over how people choose to treat us, how my mind interprets that behavior, the cascade of hurt feelings that follow, and my desire to control it all, that our lives had become unmanageable. And after writing that, I sort of chuckled to myself, like, wow, wouldn't it be great, actually, if my only problem was food? You know, once I put the food down and begin living in a spiritual solution as a result of working all 12 steps, including working with others, as others have beautifully mentioned, I'm given the opportunity to go deeper and deeper and deeper, and more is revealed as to what is the spiritual malady at the basis of my problem. And so I can see, when I think about Bill and his mountaintop experience that we read about in Bill's story, it's on one page. The wind is blowing through and through, and he's connecting with God, and it's amazing. And not even a whole page later, he's struggling to find work. He's struggling to find meaning. He's struggling to make his finances meet, make ends meet. So I think that for me, although we talk about being happy, joyous, and free, there are a lot of reminders in the big book that life is still going to feel lifey, that I'm still going to be facing challenges that make me feel as if things were just not easy. And the solution and the reminder in the big book and with sponsors who adhere to the principles of the big book, I'm always turned or encouraged to turn my attention to a higher power that may have a spiritual solution for me and my maladies. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Donna B. Up next is Barbara A., followed by Mary G. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Barbara A. from California, gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. I'm so compelled to share today because of the message that I'm hearing about helping others, about the 12th step, about doing service, working with others. This is the part of the program I never came to. This is the part of the program that I never wanted to do. It was too difficult. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't perfect. I couldn't be a sponsor. I couldn't help anybody. All because I had the notion in my head that I had to do it a certain way and people had to recover if I talked to them. Oh, so much control, so much control, so much control. I remembered thinking about a retreat I went to, and there was a speaker, and she spoke about being a sponsor and how she didn't want that hard sponsee. She didn't want that person that was really going to test her. And how I said, oh, my gosh, that's me too. I don't want that person who's going to be hard. And then realizing that what an opportunity to have somebody come into my life that's going to question my faith and question my service and want to, do they really want a solution? And am I willing to share my solution? A tolerance of others and their shortcomings. I've really learned that with step 12 in the service. It is such a relief to let go that I do not control how someone receives my message. If I am working the 12 steps, which I have had the blessing and the grace to have completed the 12 steps, to have worked with my sponsor, and then to pass this on to others, this is the part of the program I never experienced in the 20-something years that I've been in this program. Only this past year have I learned that sponsorship is true service. Faith without works is dead. I must work on my spiritual experiences. I must work on my spiritual life. And the only way I can do that is by talking with others. And I loved what people were saying, that my sponsees give me insight. They help me understand myself. And that's a gift. I truly am grateful for the program. I'm grateful to share today. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Barbara A. from California. And before I take Mary G., let me tell everybody where we're at. We're on page 156, the third paragraph down, but life was not easy. And it ends with, she had a first-class alcoholic prospect. And after Mary G., I will take another lineup. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. This is Mary G., recovered compulsive overeater in Arizona. And thank you for your service, and thank you for all who have made this meeting possible. You know, it's so much easier for me to just sit and listen to the meeting rather than to jump in and share. But this paragraph just really jumped out at me because for so many years in program,
you know, I thought, well, I heard so often that the program was simple. And to me, that meant it was easy. And so if it wasn't easy, I figured I wasn't doing it right. And so I kept looking for that easier, softer way. But it says here, life was not easy. And it took me a long time, even after, excuse me, even after I put down my alcoholic foods, to realize that, you know, life is life and I cannot control it. And if I want to be effective and useful in this life, then I have to be connected to my higher power. It says plenty of difficulties presented themselves. You know, when difficulties used to present myself, I would try to escape them. I did not like difficulties. I didn't want to deal with them. And what this program gives me today is a way to live my life without having to escape, be that into the food, which is usually the last choice I'll make, but it could happen. But, you know, I've escaped into computer games, into internet surfing, I mean, you name it. And then that next sentence is the one that really just jumped out at me, because this is where I've tripped up so many times. It says, both saw that they must keep spiritually active. And, you know, I would think spiritually active meant that I had this great relationship with my higher power and I was doing what I needed to do. But it doesn't have anything to do really with me other than the connection. God is going to use me as he wants, but I have to be willing to let him do that. Sponsorship used to be fearful for me because I thought, oh my gosh, what if I don't do it right? Or what if they don't recover? Or what if? And you know what? Today I realize I have no control over another person's recovery. That is up to them. That is up to them and their higher power. All I can do is share the experience, strength, and hope that I have that my higher power will use to guide them. And sometimes, you know, I love teaching the big book because, you know, things come out that we share that I'm just like so amazed. And it keeps it fresh for me. It keeps it green, as they say. And I'm really grateful. And thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Mary G. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Patricia P.
Kathleen W.
I got Patricia P. and I think Robin P. Patricia.
Kathleen W.
And Robin P. and Kathleen W.
Nirvana A.
Nirvana A. I have Patricia P., Robin P., Kathleen, I think it was W., and Nirvana A. We'll go with that group. Everyone else mute your phone except Patricia. Good morning, Patricia.
Hi, Mo. Thanks for your service. My name is Patricia Ford from Barron Springs, Michigan. I remember my last relapse, I started on a binge, the mental twist that comes with it, and I know how I need to have a spiritually fit condition before I can remain abstinent. I got off a four-month relapse, and got back into it with the help of my higher power, and I just don't want to forget that relapse. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Hey, thanks very much, Patricia P. Robin P., followed by Kathleen W. Good morning, Robin.
Morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service. I am Robin P. I'm really grateful. Recovered compulsive overeater, currently in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Wow, this is so perfect. I'm so grateful. This is such a blessing to be on this meeting today. I just heard so many things I needed very much to hear. My mom appears to be dying, I think, in the hospital. She's had pneumonia over and over again. She keeps going in and out and in and out. And she's 91. And my stepbrother is probably the most controlling, negatively controlling person I've ever met. And just wreaking havoc with a bunch of things, including and my husband and myself getting our things out of my mom's place because they're going to move her to a different wing. And just playing all these mean control games. And, wow, it just feels like life got really hard. And I just get to really, I'm so grateful for my God squad and for 10 steps I've done. A couple of 10 steps on this. This program works when you work it. And I just feel like, you know, wow, just hit by life, you know, this other part of life where I'm so powerless over other people. When even when I think you're kidding, that's crazy. Oh, my gosh. Like, what? You know, and everyone else says the same thing. It doesn't matter. How do I respond? How can I stay above it with God and the program and not get involved? Like, cut the cord. Don't play the game. Let go. I don't need to win. I just need to win with God. And so, you know, I feel a lot of fear, and I just keep surrendering it. Who would I be without the fear? I would be God's trusting child. And that's part of my 10th step. When I get to the fear, I just say, who would I be without the fear? I would be your child, your trusting child, God. So that's who I get to be today. And be of service and be on the phone and reach out and be of service to myself. How can I be of service to them? When I'm in service to someone else, I get out of what, you know, I'm feeling about all of this going on. And I'm not the only one who's had weird family dynamics when a parent is, you know, transitioning. So I just get to remember that, too. So God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day. Thank you so much. Thanks, Mo, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I pass.
Yeah, thanks, Robin P., and prayers for you and your family. Up next is Kathleen W., followed by Nirvana A. Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, good morning, Mo. This is Kathleen W. from Illinois. Boy, did I need this meeting today. I had a situation yesterday that with someone that spoke to me in such a way that was so condescending, it triggered horrible shame. I felt like a little child sitting helpless, you know, against the humiliation, you know, in front of other people. And I felt this shame, and when I feel this, when the shame is triggered, what comes up next is like real anger, and so I voiced some of this anger, although, but a huge improvement because it, generally in this situation it's just rage, and then I just rage on. But I saw this was not going to work for me, the anger, and I took some steps, but. Today, this reading, I really needed to hear this and so many of the shares because I was thinking, you know, my reaction to it was, you know, angry words. And I did say how I felt. And just to kind of get away from that person. And I thought, oh, you know, this behavior of mine, maybe I'm just not suitable. Maybe I'm just not suited to be sponsoring people, you know, after this incident occurred, you know, maybe I should just withdraw from that. And boy, this is just what I needed because it says, you know, life was not easy, plenty of difficulties, but, you know, they kept spiritually active. And I can see, you know, yeah, life is difficult for me right now. What is at the base of my malady? You know, what I feel this shame, and then I blame the other person, and it's my shame. And so I'm looking into that, and I'm discussing it with somebody that works with that's kind of childhood woundedness. And I have the 10th step, and I have now a hope that, okay, God, I'm going through this for a reason. You're going to help me through this. I'm going to find out what is the malady. I'm going to be healed. Just to help me to take the steps I need to take. Spiritually active, I love that because it reminds me that's a proactive thing. I can do a 10th step. I continue to pray about this. I can trust my higher power to tear down whatever stronghold there is in me that responds in the way that I do to that sort of treatment, you know. And so grateful today, and with that I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kathleen W. And before I take Nirvana A, I'll let everybody know where we're at. We're on page 156, the third paragraph down, but life was not easy. And it ends with, she had a first-class alcoholic prospect. And after Nirvana, I'll be able to take maybe two or three more. Good morning, Nirvana.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for moderating. I thought, okay, I'll do my service. I listen every morning, but I don't share. I get very nervous sharing. But when it says life was not easy, I always think of our heartbeat. The heartbeat is up and down, up and down. And if it's a flat line, we're dead. So I always think of that. When life is not easy, I say, okay, I'm living. If it was easy, I would be dead. So that sort of calms me down. And then they say if they had a first-class alcoholic prospect. I think a lot of people are now first-class, in my opinion, I could be wrong, first-class sugar addicts. And I want to acknowledge two people that are actually doing Bill and Bob's work in this modern world, John and Ocean Robbins. These are the son and grandsons of Baskin and Robbins, the Robbins and Baskin and Robbins, and they're actually now promoting this whole concept of sugar not being healthy for us. So they are actually doing a lot of work in this aspect as well. Maybe this is the modern version, that there has to be a food revolution, so they call it, where we wake up to the foods that we put in our body, the processed foods, all the things that cause us inflammation in the body, and how just with the right foods that we eat and we can digest, we can reverse a lot of health issues that we have. And I've heard on this line, a lot of people were on medications and then they went off sugar or flour, and how they had to decrease or even come off totally their medications. So this gives a lot of hope. And as much as I can, I try to promote this stuff to my patients, to my friends, and whoever is willing to take it, they take it. If it's not the right time for them, maybe they re-ask me in a year or 2 years. So we never give up trying to do what is good for everyone on this planet. And with that, I pass. And thank you so much for moderating, Mo.
Hey, thank you very much for your share, Nirvana. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? We have time for like two more shares.
Charlene N.
Charlene N.
Yep.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Tony Ann A.
Tony Ann A. Okay, we'll take those two.
Mary Lee R. in Oregon.
I don't think we'll be able to get to you, Mary Lee, but I'll put you down. All right, Charlene N. and Tony Ann. Tony Ann, I didn't get your last initial, but I'll get it, and Mary Lee. All right, good morning, Charlene.
Good morning, Mo. My name is Charlene Ann, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Goodyear, Arizona. I just absolutely think this is such a great reminder paragraph for me. You know, life is not easy, and there are plenty of difficulties that present themselves to me every day. But I'm reminded that I must keep spiritually active. And for me, that being spiritually active is 10, 11, and 12. In step 10, I clear away the front porch so that I can, in step 11, invite my God into my life without any hindrance from anything that may be left.
And in step 12, which this is the one that they're talking about, I am given the opportunity to remind myself where I've been, how I've gotten out of it, and where I am now. And I know that I have this ability to forget those hard times, those debilitating times that food has put me in the gutter. Sick, lonely, hopeless, overwhelmed. And it is through my sharing of my experience, strength, and hope that I can never forget where I've been. And I can always remember how I got to where I am now. And this is I am so grateful for this. And it's so clear on the medicine I have to take every single day to keep this terrible disease at bay. And so I appreciate everyone's shares this morning, and I hope everyone has a wonderful abstinent day. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlene N. And Tony Ann A., you're up next. And we may have time for the next person. All right, good morning,
you
Tony.
You did get my last initial. Thank you, Mel. I appreciate that. Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Tony Ann from New Jersey. Happy to be here, and welcome to the newcomer. Welcome to the person that's struggling. Life wasn't easy for the two friends, and I feel like life is 50% good and 50% difficult. During the good times, I celebrate. During the difficult times, I learn. Unfortunately, I didn't like being uncomfortable. I didn't like when things were difficult. So what I did was I was using food to numb myself during those times and food to comfort myself during those times. But I recently heard something that talked about the difference between consumption and creation. And as you said, there's a different types of action. There's passive action and there's active action. And so that if during times of difficulty, I use consumption to make myself feel better, if I'm using food to disguise the discomfort that I'm feeling in my life, then I'm never really learning from what the discomfort is trying to tell me. See, I really think that difficult times, for example, let's say, you're in a boat, if those people have a boat, and a storm is coming. You know, you feel the wind and the waves are getting big, they're crashing over, and that tells you that you have to adjust your rudder to go in a different direction. But instead of adjusting my rudder, if I just run downstairs in the cabin and try to feel better, I'm never going to go anyplace. What's going to happen is the storm is going to just throw my boat around, and wherever the storm leads me, that's where my life is going to be. And that was how I lived my life. When things got difficult, I just turned to food. So instead of getting better at my life, I just got better at eating. And I got really good at the food and not really good at taking care of things in my life. And so today, when the storm comes, I hold fast without using the food. I allow that storm, whatever it is, the difficult times in my life, I feel it. And I get through it with the help of the 12 steps and a higher power, not the food. And that allows me to then weather through that storm and come out in a direction where I still want to be. I don't let life just lead me wherever anymore. I take a creative, active part in what my life is today through the help of this program, the fellows, the sponsor of God, and the 12 steps. And I have to say that this program will set you up on a road that really leads somewhere. If you're willing to weather that storm, to feel uncomfortable without comforting yourself with food. And with that, I pass.
And thank you very much, Tony Ann. I'm sorry we don't have any time for the last share person. But thank you all for your service today, and thank you all for the shares. And we're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And we'll now, Shelley E., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Shelley.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning. Good morning, my fellas. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. And thank you so much for the meeting. It's fantastic. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do for the man who is still sick? The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. Relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.